My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
As the exclusive sponsor for our show, the law firm Condori and Murad will guide you and your family in the right direction, help you draft a will, set up a trust, and create a healthcare power of attorney. Schedule a free consultation with their estate planning attorneys at kmlawyers.com and be sure to tell them we sent you so that you can get a discount. That's kmlawyers.com. Thanks much for making the show part of your afternoon. We're taking you up to Nats pregame at 6:10. They play tonight at 6:40 in Miami, looking for a second straight win against the Marlins. Right now on the BetQL guest hotline, we are thrilled to talk to Booger McFarland of ESPN, one of our favorite football guests to have on over the course of the football season. Booger, you're back on in D.C. with Grant and Danny, man. Thanks for the time. How you been?
Doing well, guys. How we doing?
Pretty darn good, man.
Well. We're fired up to talk to you. There's a ton of different places we can go to start here, but I want to begin with locally Washington, Jaden Daniels, and the Commanders, and your expectations for them this year, Boog.
Well, obviously, anytime you start a rookie quarterback, there are going to be ups and downs. I think of all the rookie quarterbacks, I think he is in not the best position, but I think he'll play the best. I think his demeanor, his poise, his maturity, he's got some decent weapons up there, as you guys know, led by Terry McLaurin. But overall, I think he's going to bring a different dynamic to that team. And from everything that I can hear, the leadership, how guys are already following him, I truly think the Commanders are going to be pretty good. I want to see how those defensive tackles play, though. You know, that's my position. And when you got Allen and Payne and Johnny Newton, those three guys have got to be dominant because of where they were picked and how much money they're making. Like, those three guys have got to be dominant for that defense. But overall, I think there's a reason for optimism in D.C.
What's your view on the Cliff Kingsbury and Jaden Daniels kind of marriage? Is that a good fit, in your opinion?
Well, the fit is really simple. If you're an offensive coordinator, your job is to find out what your guy does best and put him in positions to do it. And if that's what Cliff does, then the marriage will be fine. It's no different than any relationship. I don't know if you guys are married or not, but it's the same thing. Like, when you go home and, you know, your wife wants to eat sushi and you bring home Popeyes, like, things not going to work too good.
That's,
you know,
right.
What I'm saying? Like, things is not going to be right. So you got to find out what she wants, and then you got to cater to it. It's no different with Kingsbury and Jaden Daniels. And based on what I saw in the preseason, I think they're going to do that. The key for me will be when Jaden goes through a little bit of a growing spell, what does Cliff do to kind of get him out of it quickly? Like, what's going to be their go-to bread and butter? Like, every team develops an identity. What's going to be the identity? I think they got a major in empty formation or spread because Jaden needs to be able to see the field, and it's easier to see the field when it's spread out. And also that gives him running lanes whenever he needs to get out of the pocket. Now, there's a difference because you still got to be able to run the football and be physical. So how does Cliff marry the two, being able to be physical while also having the field open enough where his young quarterback can see the field and get out and use his legs? I think that'll be key.
Booger McFarland with us on Grant and Danny. Like Jaden Daniels, Baton Rouge LSU guy with ties to that program. I'm curious, I mean, you must know Jaden a little bit, I would think, or have crossed paths with him at some point. If not, I'm sure you watched him closer than just about anybody. How much do you think he should and will run early on in his career?
Well, here's a little fun fact. Like, he doesn't really look to run. His eyes are always down the field. He's looking to throw the football. It just so happens that he probably runs 4-3 when he takes off. And so, you know, he's got to be smart because this is not college football, and he doesn't want to get hit. And you got to play this game for the next 10, 12 years at a high level. So he's got to be smart, but he's also got to use what God gave him. I think there's a fine line between running and making plays and being reckless. He's got to learn the difference. And, yeah, I've followed him closely. And I'll tell you this, guys. His first game at LSU was against Florida State. And that was, what, 3 years ago, 2 years ago, however my math is working. And when I saw him play, I was like, I don't know. But to see where he went from that game until the end of his career was as much improvement as I've seen from anybody. And I think the sky's the limit because he's starting to understand how to play the position. That position has really little to do with how fast you are or how far you can throw a ball. That position is all about the guy that controls the football, his demeanor, his decision-making, his accuracy. That's what that position is about. Like, I can name 10 guys that have been bigger, faster, can throw it 90 yards, but they all fail because that position is not about that. It's good to have it, but that's not what that position is about.
Follow our guest at ESPN, Booger. Booger McFarland joins us here on G&D. Let's stay in the division with the Eagles. That swoon last year was something. We all saw it, right? That collapse. I think they were 11-1 or so to start, maybe 10-1 to start the season, and they just fell apart. A lot of turnover, a lot of changing now. How are you viewing the Eagles this year?
I think it's the most important opener of any team in the National Football League based on what you guys just said. They were 10-1. They lost 6 out of their last 7. The offensive coordinator is gone. The defensive coordinator is gone. There's a rift, allegedly, between the head coach and the quarterback. Now you bring in new personnel. You bring in Saquon Barkley, new offensive coordinator, new defensive coordinator, and you open up in Sao Paulo, Brazil, against a team that a lot of people think is up and coming. They're the youngest football team, maybe, in the National Football League, the Green Bay Packers. They got a quarterback that just got the bag. And here come the Eagles with all the questions that they have. I think it's the most important opener of the weekend, because it could go one of two ways. If they don't start, 2-1, 3-0, then we're going to start back and we're going to talk about last year. And I think if you're an Eagle fan, you want to forget about last year as quick as you can.
Booger, on the flip side of that matchup, you mentioned Jordan Love getting paid for Green Bay. Can they push Detroit in the North? Do you think the Bears ultimately have anything to say about that with Caleb Williams in his debut season? How do you see Green Bay figuring into a division everybody seems to be handing to the Lions?
Well, I think it's going to be Detroit and Green Bay. I think it would be unfair to Caleb Williams to put him in a position to do something that not a lot of people have done in the history of the game, and that's a rookie quarterback leading a team to the playoffs. Like, it just doesn't happen a lot. So I think it'd be really unfair to ask that of him. And so I think we turn our attention into Detroit, Green Bay, and I think those two teams, based on how they finished, based on their trajectory, based on their roster, I think those two teams are going to be looked at as probably the favorites in that division. I would lean toward Detroit just because I just like their makeup. But if you told me at the end of the season that Green Bay won the division and was the number one seed, I wouldn't say that. I would be really shocked. I think they're young, I think, but they're really, really close to being ready.
I know you spent a lot of time in that NFC South as a player. How do you see that division going this year? I talked myself into a different team pretty much every day.
Well, it's a two-team division. It's Tampa and Atlanta. I think in the end, I don't know if New Orleans will have enough. Their offensive line, I don't know if it's good enough. And so I think it's ultimately going to come down to Tampa and Atlanta. And does Atlanta have enough defense? I don't know. They got to show me. I would lean toward Tampa based on the makeup of their team. Baker Mayfield had a really good season last year. That defense led by Todd Bowles is really, really good year in and year out. And if you just look at kind of where they've been, like for Baker to come in and follow Tom Brady and for that team to go to the postseason, I think the sky's the limit for them from the standpoint of winning the division, getting into the postseason, hosting a playoff game. And once you get into the dance, then it's about matchups.
Booger McFarland of ESPN with us on Grant and Danny. Love talking ball with one of the great football analysts in the country. Booger, what about tomorrow's game? We kick off the season with a classic rematch of the AFC Championship game with the Chiefs and the Ravens. Kansas City's trying to do something unprecedented and three-peat. In fact, only two other teams ever, have ever been to three straight Super Bowls, and none of the other ones won all three. And then you got Baltimore with a two-time MVP and Lamar Jackson, who are one of the top teams in the AFC otherwise. How do you like their chances this year, both of those two teams in that conference?
Yeah, regardless of what happens tomorrow night, I think these are two of the best teams, not only in the AFC, but in the entire league. I think both of them are going to be right there when it ends. Tomorrow night is not going to be, I don't think, a microcosm of where they're going to be when the season is over. I think it's a good matchup. I think, this matchup tomorrow night could draw, 30 to 40 million viewers because of everything that's going to be going on. You got the Kansas City side, Mahomes and Kelce and Xavier Worthy. Also, Taylor Swift and what she's going to bring. You got Baltimore. Derrick Henry's going to be there. Like, tomorrow's going to be a star-studded affair. And so it wouldn't surprise me if it breaks records for an opening game in the National Football League. It's a standalone game. It's the only game on. It's what you get when the championship is in your building and you raise a banner. It's going to be a fun night. And with that being said, I think the pressure is on Kansas City, because do they really want to lose two openers at home 2 years, 2 years in a row? I don't think they want to do that, and so I think the pressure is on them. Because if you're Baltimore, you got to look at it this way: Baltimore had a death on the coaching staff. They got a new defensive coordinator. They got some change. They're trying to incorporate Derrick Henry into the offense. It's going to take some time for those things to take effect. But if you're Kansas City, same team, except you added Xavier Worthy. Okay, you got Juju Smith-Schuster, you got Travis Kelce, you got that big offensive line, you got Chris Jones, and you got McDuffie, and you got all the things that they have. So Kansas City really brings in more answers to the questions tomorrow night than Baltimore does, but it still should be a really good game.
So if we agree that Kansas City's, and they should be, the favorite in the AFC West, who finishes second in that division, Bug?
Second in the West, wow. Talent-wise, you would say the Chargers, but I'm not really sure. The Raiders, if you don't have a quarterback, eventually that's going to catch up with you. Denver is intriguing. Not a Bo Nix fan. I got to see it on this level. Sean Payton loves him, but we'll see. Probably the Chargers.
Before I hit on college with you, just the transition to that level, we've talked about Jaden Daniels and Caleb Williams. You just mentioned maybe not being as high on Nix. I don't know where you're at on Drake May, who might play this year as well. What's your take on what we should expect from this rookie quarterback class in general?
Well, I think Drake May he's probably got the farthest to go. Caleb is going to start. Seems like he's ready to go, but he's still going to go through growing pains. Drake May is just not ready yet, nor is the offensive line, so there's really no need to put him out there. J.J. McCarthy, he's going to miss the entire season with the knee. Michael Penix. If we see Michael Penix, that probably means something is drastically wrong with either the Falcons' offense or Kirk Cousins, because they gave him $100 million to play, and I don't think they're going to set a guy that's making $100 million guaranteed on the bench. So, those are the guys that you're probably looking forward to seeing. Bo Nix, again, the jury's still out. I know everybody says he's a bigger version of Drew Brees, but I'm not gonna disrespect Drew Brees and compare him to a guy who spent 5 years in college and threw the ball, 0 to 15 yards down the field a lot. I'm not going to compare Drew Brees to that just yet.
Boog, before we let you go, I want to hop down to college for a second, because you do a great job covering that level for ESPN as well. You tweeted something while I was watching that Florida State Shabingus the other night that was so good. You asked about a quarterback at Florida State, DJ Uiagalelei. You said, if you were a head coach and you handpick a portal quarterback and he struggles this bad, what do you do? And your point was, you don't really have equity with your team or with teammates, you know, of his to just let him keep playing. But then also it's complicated because you just paid a guy a lot of money. What's the answer to that question? Because I view it almost like Florida State gave a contract out in free agency and it's already a terrible contract. You were just referencing like you paid Cousins, you got to play him. This is kind of what we're talking about with NIL and a guy like DJU, isn't it?
Yeah, it's very similar, man. And if you're Mike Norvell, you got to figure it out, man, because to the point about equity, you know, when you've been through the fire with teammates, those teammates will know, like, they know you're going to bounce out of it. They know, you know, you got their back and they got your back. But when you have a guy who just showed up on campus 6 months ago, like, you don't really know him. Like, he's a hired hand. And he's proven through the first couple games that he's not it right now. And he may get better, but I think DJU is who he is, and who he is not very good. And I think if you're Florida State, you got to figure out what's next. I think Mike owes it to the team, and it's no different than the NFL. Sometimes you pass out a bad contract. Remember, Seattle gave Matt Flynn three years and $45 million, but they started Russell Wilson. Sometimes it happens. And in those rare cases, you got to bite the bullet and tell the GM, I made a mistake. In this case, if you're Florida State, you got to go to the collective and say, hey, I know we're paying DJ whatever the number is, $500,000, $600,000, but I'm going to put him on the bench if we made a mistake. And that's where we are in college football. But it's a tough predicament to be in, especially when you bring the money, because the GM going to look at you like, well, you told me he was X. And that's kind of where Mike Norvell and Florida State are.
Is Cam Ward, the quarterback at Miami, as good as he played this weekend? He blew me away. And were there any other college quarterbacks on the short list that you would say also had kind of elite outings this weekend?
Cam Ward is as good. Nico Iamaviala at Tennessee is the real deal. Those two really stood out to me because they not only put up big numbers, but they played the game at a high level. Cam Ward went in the swamp amongst 90,000 and played like he was, you know, over there outside of the old FedEx Stadium in the parking lot just throwing it around. Like, he just really looked cool, calm, and collected. And Nico, you know, Nico is handpicked by Josh Heupel. They paid him a lot of money, and so far, so good. So those were the two that really stood out to me.
Just wanted to get your thoughts in general, though, Boog, real quick, about the landscape of college football. You referenced it a little bit. I'm happy for individual players, obviously. Get what you can get. I mean, the market says, get it, go get it. No quibble there. But with all the conference realignment, with sort of the death maybe of some of these rivalries and kind of this wild, wild west, you know, no CBA, you know, just sort of, I don't want to call it craziness, but I don't have a better word for it. Where is college football at right now to you, and how can it get better if it needs to?
I think college football is more and more like the NFL from the standpoint of money and general managers and rosters and performance and the length of the season. Where can it get better? I think the one thing that you got to do right now is there are two transfer windows, one in the spring. I think there only needs to be one. And most likely it probably needs to be at the end of the spring. You know, don't let a guy transfer as soon as the season is over and he's super emotional. I think, you know, there's got to be one window. And if you say that one window's in the fall, okay, then fine. I just think there only needs to be one. Mm. Right now, having two windows to transfer is not very good.
Booger, tell me you're doing primetime again with Berman.
Oh, yeah. Sunday night, baby.
Oh, I'm telling you, this is not an exaggeration. I got ESPN Plus a few years ago, a couple years back, for that show. I grew up watching it, TJ and Boom do that, and I still think it's just as good a football show as there is. You and him are so good, and I would tell all of our listeners to check it out. So you're going to do it every Sunday night?
Sunday night, on ESPN Plus, baby.
Love it. So good. Well, we appreciate you, man. It's awesome having you on the show. Always thrilled to talk to you, and we'll catch up soon.
All right, later. Have a good one, fellas.
Thanks, bud.
You got it. There's Booger McFarland of ESPN on Grant and Danny. Talks about both the pro and the college game. You know what show I'm talking about? Primetime.
Oh, yeah.
So it was
Primetime.
Right. The old show with him and TJ, Tom Jackson. Obviously, Jackson's now in his mid-70s, but he doesn't do it anymore. But him and Booger do it. And they go around every single game, and it's the Berman delivery of, in Buffalo, the Bills. And
dun, you know, dun, exactly. dun, 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 dun.
It's like, and it's caught at the 5. You know, and it's just,
That's the one.
There it is. But that breakdown was my entire child fandom of football.
You guys, you took a point at Grant Paulson. You, Darius Dameron. And you, if Ryan was sitting in the room, he's not. All sleep on the fact that you didn't know who won the earlier games until you saw that on NFL primetime. You're sitting there and missed you. Did the Colts
ticker?
Did the not really? What that I'm telling you, that score bug became more uniform later. You had to wait for the most part. You saw a highlighter too. You had a feel for how that Cardinals Oilers game was going. You didn't know.
Let me get a little bit of that, Darius. So it's like Chiefs Ravens breakdown. They're like, here comes Baltimore. Lamar Jackson from
Louisville.
You always got to yell Louisville.
Louisville
finds his man. It's Dennis Pitta. I don't know why he's
is
back.
Is it Dennis Pitta?
I don't know why he's back. Downfield, rumbling, stumbling, tumbling. He could go. Oh, I love primetime. The best. And now Booger, right there with my guy Berman. Let's go.
That show was perfect. It was perfect.
It is.
The highlight.
It still is, by the way.
Yeah. But
I'm telling you, it's ESPN Plus.
I know.
It's a staple for me on Sunday nights.
Well, now it's especially because it's that window between the final 4 o'clock game whistle and then the actual Sunday night game.
Post Sunday night, that's one of my first stops. Before I jump on Game Pass and start watching some condensed games, I'm going to watch Boom and Booger break it down. Very, very fun. All right, 6.5 wins is the projected total for the odds makers on the Commanders. Are we going over or under? That's next on Grant and Danny.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Hey, football fans, you want the real deal? The raw, unfiltered truth about everything going down in the NFL? Join Mark Schlereth, 3-time Super Bowl champ, on the Stinkin' Truth podcast. He's breaking it all down for you. No punches pulled. From the game-changing moments that won or lost a game to the player evaluations, this is analysis you won't hear anywhere else. Mark's got you covered. So strap in and get ready for the ride, because this isn't your average football podcast. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
CBS just put out a quarterback power ranking going into week one of the top 10 QBs in football. They have Brock Purdy 6th. I'm not mad about that. I don't agree with it. But I also think Brock Purdy is one of the most complicated quarterbacks to talk about, to discuss, and to rank in my time as someone covering the NFL. Because he's got so much help, his job is made so much easier in every situation by every level of support for a quarterback, from coaching to play calling to offensive line and tackle play to weaponry at receiver and at tight end and the running game and your pass-catching running back. He's got it easier than any quarterback in league history probably has ever had it. But yet he also makes the occasional incredible off-schedule play. He does things better than some of the guys that they've had there, like Jimmy Garoppolo, have done. But the fact that Garoppolo got to a Super Bowl, got to a couple NFC Championship games, I think tells you all you need to know. Brock Purdy is eventually going to get paid. We know that. He's going to make $60 million a year, and it's going to feel insane. And it's just how it works when you win to the extent that San Francisco has with him under center, and you put up some of the gaudy, ostentatious type numbers that he's been able to. But having him sixth in the top 10, that's just tough for me. But there is a wide open conversation, really, after the big four. You know, it always feels like we've got like that Mount Rushmore. It used to be Manning, Breeze, Brady, Rodgers. Now it's Mahomes, Allen, Burrow. And I think most people would throw Lamar in there as a two-time MVP. But after that, it kind of opens wide up, doesn't it?
It does. And it's, you know, that week or, you know, that season, good fortune, bad, everything
in
between.
Who's on a heater, who isn't?
Yeah. So just to your Purdy point, everybody wants, it reminds me of the Miller Lite commercials, the taste great, less filling type deal. Here's the deal.
I like those commercials as a young boy.
Yeah, and they brought him back with Luke Wilson now yelling at everybody that it's both. Here's the thing. Brock Purdy is a system quarterback, and everybody gets very upset one way or the other. But here's my point. Nick Mullins also ran that system. Nick Mullins stinks. Put up terrible numbers. Jimmy Garoppolo ran that system. Nowhere near as effective as Brock Purdy. It can be both things. He fits that thing really well. A lot of guys would thrive there. A lot of guys who've been there and played there. It's not like Sam Darnold lit the world on fire. It's not like, again, I mentioned Nick Mullins. Jimmy Garoppolo, 20-12, his way to Super Bowls and NFC title games, right? Checking it down, handing it off, doing nothing spectacular. And how great that front office is, the personnel, carried them an awful long way. And he got to ride the coattails by not turning it over, but not really doing anything spectacular. Purdy has put up better numbers than any of those guys in Kyle Shanahan's system. So that matters to me. It's also, if you dropped him on the name that pedestrian offense, I don't know, whoever you think the most middle-of-the-pack, middling, boring offense is, would he do 38 touchdowns and 7 picks again? Probably not. That's not who he is. So to me, both can be true.
Would you rather have him or Jordan Love?
Him.
I'd rather have Jordan Love. Would you rather have him or Jalen Hurts?
Hurts.
That one's closer because Hurts last year was so bad, and I wonder a little bit about, you know, how good Hurts is now, but I'll say Hurts, I guess, by a hair. Would you rather have him or Matt Stafford? Not Matt in Stafford, the caller.
Oh, thank you, because I love Matt in Stafford.
I should say this. Matthew Stafford.
Matthew Stafford. Pretty because of health. I feel like Stafford stays hurt. When he's healthy, he's really, really good.
Him or Dak Prescott?
Purdy.
I mean, I guess my point is, like, at that group, that tier of 6 through 12 or whatever is jumbled up a little bit. So I'm not going to spend any time being upset. It's just whenever I see Purdy ranked that high, it's just a reminder. Man, he's fascinating.
Yeah.
And
it's polarizing,
should
right?
Prepare for the internet to break because he's going to get 60 mil. Probably this coming off.
And people are going to lose their minds.
The projected total for the Commanders is a 6.5 win season from odds makers. The future bet you can make on the Commanders is to either go over or under that total. So let's proverbially walk up to the window here, Dan.
Mm-hmm.
I want you to pick a side, and we'll open up the phones for you guys right now. It should be fun. I want to take the temperature of our listening audience on this. Via you guys at 800-636-1067, 800-636-1067. Would you bet on the Commanders to go over or under 6.5 wins?
It's over, but slight for me. I've got them right at 7. I think this is probably the range they should be in, which, again, is why, as our buddy Chris Russell says, the boys in Vegas, just it's a group of 3 or 4 people in Vegas, just these boys gathering around deciding these types of odds.
But I was sitting next to Russell at Josh Harris's press conference last weekend.
Uh-huh.
Over at the X, and Harris said at one point, like, you know,
he goes, I'll leave that to the guys in Vegas.
Exactly. Right? He's like, I'll leave that to the folks out in Vegas or whatever. And I literally, as Josh Harris is talking in the second row, turn around to Russell, who's right behind me, and I go, the boys in Vegas.
The boys in Vegas.
But anyway.
Yeah, but that's right where they belong, I think. both in terms of turning over the roster, in terms of a new regime, new quarterback, all these types of things. There is not a ton of precedent for a team to just jump up and win 9 or 10 games. Our eye line is ruined because of what CJ Stroud, the remarkable turnaround that Houston endured last year, but what's far more typical is incremental improvement. Plus, I forget the exact number. I don't have it in front of me. I was trying to look it up real quick from Warren Sharp. They have one of the more difficult schedules in the NFL. And as you start to, you know, tally it up here, you're not in terms of the gimmies, in terms of how dominant they're going to be. I think they'll be competitive in every game, but it feels like that 6 or 7 win plateau to me. So I'd probably say 7. The other nugget I would offer is from the folks at ESPN, who did that very like nerdy statistical breakdown, Mike Clay and company. They have a win probability of north of 50% in only one game. And that's a team that they haven't beat very much at all over the last handful of seasons in the Giants. So it doesn't mean that you lose every one of those games where you're a 34% favorite or a 48% favorite, et cetera. But it just means just on paper. So when you add it all up, I don't see the banner season a lot of folks are talking about in terms of 9 or 10 wins. I'm okay with that, by the way. I've got them right in that 7 win range. So I would take the over with some hesitation.
12th easiest schedule in the NFL via Sharp Analytics. Obviously, there are other metrics you can find. Most places have them somewhere between 5th and 6th easiest to about 10th. I think Sharp actually is one of the least favorable toward Washington's schedule, and he's got them still top 12. So schedule should not be an issue at all. You know how I do my strength of schedule bit. I don't do it the way a lot of people do where they look at the teams based on last year. The way I look at strength of schedule is quarterbacks that are on your schedule. You know, what QBs do you actually play? That's what I care about. Now, that can change too with injuries, and generally it only gets easier. It doesn't get a lot harder because it's not like teams are going out and adding at the quarterback position. But you know, if you look at their early season schedule, I think they've got to start pretty quickly. You know, they play the Bucs and the Giants in weeks 1 and 2. I think both of those games are winnable, and I could actually see them being 2-0 going to Cincinnati for Monday Night Football. But I know that if they're going to be over 6.5, they probably have to have one of those two. I don't like the idea of 0-2 going to the Bengals for a primetime game on the road. That's going to be a difficult place to play. You then play the Cardinals. Through 4 games, you should be 2-2. You know, if you're not at least 1-3, you're in big, big trouble. But the Giants and Cardinals games are going to be toss-up type games. I know the Cardinals is on the road, but you could very easily be 500 through 4 games. Then you've got the Panthers, the Bears, and the Giants in a stretch right around Halloween. You get one of those, at least maybe 2 of those. But if you just run through it, I mean, it's the quarterback schedule includes Will Levis, Derek Carr, Daniel Jones twice. Hurts, the way he played last year, is no insurmountable task. They almost beat Philly twice. Deshaun Watson has not been good. They have Kyler Murray of Arizona, Baker Mayfield of Tampa Bay. So it's not a arduous schedule in that regard. So I'm going over as well, Danny. I'm a little more bullish maybe in the over than you are, too. Like 7 sounds about right, but I wouldn't be surprised if they're able to win 8, or if Jaden Daniels is really, really good, if they got to 9. But we're in lockstep in saying over 6.5, which is a little scary.
Yeah, I mean, they're in the range among the bottom 5 or 6, maybe even 7 teams in the NFL in terms of win totals, right? Like there's a couple that are 4.5. I think there's a couple that are 5.5 and a couple other that are around, 6, 6.5. Depends on your sports book and depends on where you're looking. But so the world isn't terribly bullish. And I totally get your quarterback approach, like looking at it that way. That's as good a way to do it as any, because as you said,
we don't know anything.
Well, as you also said, rightly, we're basing a lot of it on last year. I'm trying to also put in what I think a team is going to be. But again, that's the beauty of this league is you think you've got somebody figured out and then they're totally different. How many people thought Houston 10 and 7 last year with rookie of the year division winner? How many people, were 100% sure that, Detroit would be within a point or two away of winning the NFC title or the Green Bay would go on the run that they did. There's a million different things that we try to predict and we can't. The Philadelphia would start 10-1 and fall apart. I mean, you don't know when you play a team, the old Shanahan axiom. But to me on paper, if they're explosive and high ceiling enough to win some of these games that, just if it got high scoring at times over the last couple of seasons, they had no chance, for the most part, right? Except maybe with the exception of one of those Philly games or the Broncos going back and forth. But if you're like playing in one of those high level NFL games, it was like, okay, you're going to leave this team in the distant rearview. If they've got the wherewithal maybe to win a couple of those games, because to your point, Daniels is doing something explosive and you steal one against, Philadelphia on the road there, then you can kind of start to creep up that total a little bit to me.
I mean, you don't have to play Mahomes. You know, they do have to deal with Jackson and Burrow, but no Allen, Herbert, Stafford. You know, last year you played the Jets, didn't have to deal with Rodgers, but would have. It's probably a middle-of-the-pack quarterback schedule if you do it that way. Let's get to the calls next. 800-636-1067. We want to hear from you guys. The MGM National Harbor listener lines are wide open. 6.5 wins is the projection in Vegas. Odds makers say that's how good the Commanders are. You going over or under that total next on Grant and Danny.
It's kind of just, you know, go out there and just playing football. Obviously, I'm embrace the moment, take it in. I'm officially in my first NFL game. But once that ball kicked out, none of that matters. So, got to focus on try to execute at a high level and go out there and try to help the team win.
4 days from Jaden Daniels making his NFL debut. That was Daniels with the media today. Welcome back, G&D on the Fan. 6.5 wins is the over-under projection for the Commanders. Are you going over or under that total? Let's go to Andrew in Damascus, who's been waiting. What's up, buddy?
Hey, guys. Cough twice if you're under duress or something. I don't know where all your confidence is coming from. I got him at 6 wins, and I'm crossing my fingers. I just don't know who's going to score. I don't think the receiving core... I don't know who's going to get that many touchdowns. Same with the running backs. Unless Jaden Daniels scores like 25 touchdowns, I don't think we're going to score enough points, and I'm not sure the defense is strong enough to really start winning us games. I don't see a huge improvement, and I hope I'm wrong, but I'm happy for you guys.
I said 7 wins. It's not like I'm doing like a 10-11 win bit, let's have a parade.
That's a good zing. And by the way, I get the cynicism on some of the position groups that you highlighted. I'll just kind of answer some of your questions, though. You said, basically, how could you be so confident in the offense? Well, number one, I think there's a chance Jaden Daniels has a spectacular rookie season. All signs are pointing to him being very comfortable, and I think if Cliff Kingsbury is worth his weight, Jaden Daniels will operate an offense that's designed to make him look really good. Now, people will say, well, wait a second, you weren't huge on him coming out, and that's true. I think the initial production is not the same as a career. And initially, with a lot of these guys, dual threat types, who are great with their arm and their feet, I watched it in 2012 to an unbelievable extent with Kyle Shanahan, you can hit the ground sprinting, and then the league adjusts, and you've got to adjust. So that part's going to be the question for me. But I think if Cliff Kingsbury is good, then their offense is actually going to be pretty explosive. Because to that point in 2012, you could have called up and said, well, who's going to be catching balls? Pierre Garçon got hurt. It was like Josh Morgan and 33-year-old Santana Moss or something. They didn't have weapons on that offense. They had a sixth-round running back who went for 1,600 yards. And the reason was teams had to go at 11-on-11 and defend them, which makes Brian Robinson good, which makes Austin Eckler better. McLaurin is a legit weapon. You need one other guy kind of to step forward at receiver, whether it's Noah Brown or Luke McCaffrey or Diami or Alameda Zacchaeus. But I do think a healthy Zach Ertz is a decent player at tight end. I like Sinnott. A little bit as a secondary tight end. Ben Sinnott's a decent player. And as a rookie, and will be better than that long term. And I think their passing game's going to go kind of through the tight end and running back room with McLaurin leading the way. So the lack of receivers, while problematic, doesn't scare me to the same extent because I think it's going to be a quick game offense. They get the ball out fast.
Yeah, I'm with you in the sense that I don't think it's a high ceiling offense. I think they've done that to themselves. I think it's kind of an unforced error, to your point about the personnel, especially on the outside. I think you've lowered the ceiling there precipitously, and you're going to have some low hanging fruit where Daniels will be able to run, and you might have some games where it works. But if you go back to 2012, there's a lot of 12 points against the Steelers and, you know, 10 points here.
Totally.
The explosion games were unbelievable and so awesome and joy-filled. Think of Thanksgiving. Think of opener in New Orleans.
Offense in the NFL in yards per play, which is kind of what I'm talking about.
No, I understand.
There's going to be games where the points maybe aren't there, but I think they're going to move the football.
And that's, well, what I would say is I think sometimes they won't. Right. When you deal with a rookie quarterback.
Football.
And well, yeah, but also when your offense is, we got to do it that way. If you don't have that incredible quarterback to lift you every week, or you've got offensive diversity, I think they've taken that away by not doing more at the receiver spot. So I don't think this is going to be a top five offense or number one in yards per play or any of that kind of stuff. I think it'll be better than it's been, which is a dubious honor.
Yeah, I don't think it'll be top five either. I wasn't suggesting that that's the case at all. I'm just saying in 2012, where you were saying, look at all these games where they didn't score. They were the best offense in the league, lining up and running plays. Nobody got more yards per play attempt than they did. They were number one in the National Football League. This group won't be that, but, I mean, Lamar Jackson, in his first season in the league, ran for 700 yards. I think Jaden Daniels could do something like that. To me, that's the great equalizer. I'm not ruling out the possibility that he runs for like 650, 700 yards, something like that, as a rookie. Let's go to Alex in Aspen Hill on G&D. What's up, Alex? Alex, you there?
Alex.
You think that? Seriously?
Alex, that's...
You kiss your mother with that mouth?
Gross. Disrespectful.
Call up here and say something like that.
Unbelievable.
The nerve of Alex.
On a Wednesday? There's football games tomorrow, dude. You're going to bring that noise?
It's a family program. Alex, what's up?
Hey, Alex.
Hello?
Hey, Ben.
Yeah, so I think Vegas has a number kind of close, you know, just over, hopefully just over, so we can build for the future. Not good for the 10 and 7, 11 and 6 predictors. But I do have another prop that's very relevant, going back to what you were saying about Terry earlier, Grant.
Yeah.
He's never gone under 900 yards in his career. Vegas has him at 900.5 for the over-under. That number scares me, to be honest.
I agree with you. And we actually talked about this when I saw that a couple weeks back. Appreciate the call. Ominous in some way. I could see this being a tough year for McLaurin if, number one, last year's lack of explosiveness wasn't just dealing with the foot problem that lingered, but rather maybe a sign of something else.
Mm-hmm.
But also, they don't have other guys at wide receivers we were just talking about to take the pressure off of him.
Yeah, so I know how I defend this group. Yeah,
if you're a defensive coordinator, where's my secondary attention going? Make sure Terry McLaurin doesn't go 7 for 110.
Yeah, pretty simple, right? I mean, you try to get him into a passing down. I guess that's a lot of the league, but you know where the ball's they're gonna try to target.
Let's hit the headlines from the day that was next and get you ready for Nats baseball.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Hey, football fans, you want the real deal? The raw, unfiltered truth about everything going down in the NFL? Join Mark Schlereth, three-time Super Bowl champ, on the Stinkin' Truth podcast. He's breaking it all down for you. No punches pulled. From the game-changing moments that won or lost a game to the player evaluations, this is analysis you won't hear anywhere else. Mark's got you covered. So strap in and get ready for the ride, because this isn't your average football podcast. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.